thinking about Jesus saves, we're going to read about salvation in God's Word today. Interesting words, salvation and the associated verb to save. The root meaning of it throughout the Scriptures is deliverance, to be delivered. That's sort of the way we use it in English. Some person is in a swimming pool floundering around and a lifeguard pulls him out. You say, he saved him. Or you have $5 and instead of getting that double half-calf latte, yada, 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 you take the $5 and put it in your bank account. You say, I saved it. What did you save it from? You saved it from the till at the coffee shop. It's in your bank account instead of down in the coffee shop buying more latte stuff. So save basically means to be delivered, to be saved from something. And there's a number of ways this is used in the Bible. The most obvious way, is the new birth, where we're saved from death. But it gets a little more specific, so let's take a look at it here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Wasn't that the promotional ad at some bank someplace? Jesus saves, you should too. Well, the other banking comment, you know, like it says on your nickel, in God we trust, all others pay cash. Oh, well, here we go. Romans 10, verse 9. I think we may have read this before, and we'll probably read it again. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, delivered. Well, delivered from what? Jesus Christ, yeah, from death. Jesus Christ said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And on a side note that we're really not going to talk about today, that word perish means to be obliterated, to cease to exist. Because if the Lord tarries, we're all going to die, but we're going to be raised from the dead, and our bodies will be changed. So they are eternal and immortal. So we may die, but we're saved from the second death. Because in the book of Revelation, those that weren't in the gathering together and weren't in the first resurrection get raised to what's often called the white throne judgment, and those whose names are in the book of life go on to eternal life, and those who aren't written in the book of life, it says they go on to the second death. They perish. At that point, they cease to exist anymore. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we truly are saved. We are delivered from that death, that second death. If the Lord tarries, we'll die the first time. But, of course, he might not come. He might come before I tell another one of my so-called jokes, which would deliver you from having to hear that. But if he doesn't, you'll just have to suffer through and then groan, which keeps your oxygen moving and keeps you awake so you can appreciate the Scriptures, which is really why we're here. Wow. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, delivered from death. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, deliverance. Deliverance. Now, I know you're used to the word salvation being talked about wholeness, and there is a way it means wholeness in the Bible, which we'll get to in a few minutes, but the basic meaning of the word is really deliverance. Deliverance. Just like somebody's saved from drowning in the swimming pool, or your $5 is saved from disappearing from your life forever and safely put in the local savings and loan where it's safe until the next banking crisis, and then, you know, we'll figure that out, but it's saved from the coffee shop, at least. So that's the first way this word salvation is used, and I refer to this as deliverance from death promised, because deliverance from death is promised. And part of the promise is we get the new birth. You get God and Christ in you. And, of course, it includes the wholeness of receiving the gift of Holy Spirit, but it's just the promise of deliverance from death. Because if the Lord tarries, we will die the first time. But sometime in the future, we'll get the fulfillment of that promise. Which brings us to the second way I've seen that this word salvation is used, is when deliverance of death is realized. First, we have deliverance of death promised, then deliverance of death realized. It's sort of like you order something from Amazon.com or something else where you don't get it immediately. You've put in your credit card number, they've emailed you a confirmation number. It sort of belongs to you, yeah, but really what you have is the promise that UPS will show up in a few days and put the box on your front porch, and you open it up and hopefully it's what you ordered. It usually is. And that's when that promise is realized. It's brought to you. It shows up at the front door. Well, we have deliverance of death promised when we get born again, but the realization of that, the I hate to say deliverance because that's confusing issues, but when it shows up, that is when we get that full deliverance from death. Our bodies are changed, and it also includes being delivered from the wrath to come. Any of you ever read the first part of the book of Revelation? There's nasty stuff going on. There's antichrists and false prophets and horsemen of the apocalypse and, you know, things that make your science fiction action movies pale by comparison. It's really nasty. But we're delivered from that. We're set free from that because we're already met the Lord in the air and we're not on the ground when all that happens. So this deliverance from death realized includes getting our bodies changed so they're immortal and incorruptible. It includes being delivered from the wrath to come and getting to be with the Lord forever. It's really cool. I mean, it's nice when UPS shows up and your gadget you ordered is in the box. It's fun to see that realized, but this is going to be a whole lot better. A whole lot better. So let's read some verses that talk about that deliverance from death being realized. Right now it's been promised to us. We're saved, we're delivered from death, but we have the promise of it. We have the seed of the new birth, being born again of incorruptible seed. But that seed will come into full fruition when our bodies are changed. Romans 13:11. Remember, think of verses where it says we have the earnest of our inheritance. It's like the down payment. God's given us a taste of all the great stuff we'll have at the return of the Lord. Romans 13:11 reads, "And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep." That's why we ring the bell at 7. Well, not really. That's another time to wake out of sleep. Talking about waking up spiritually. "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Wait a minute. Our salvation, our deliverance is nearer than when we believed? I thought I was already saved. Well, I am, but that's the kind of salvation where deliverance from death is promised. The full realization of it is in the future. And the return of the Lord is closer today than it was yesterday. I don't care when Jesus Christ comes back, we're a day closer. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow will be another day closer. So now is our salvation, that deliverance from death realized and completed, nearer than when we believed. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." As you know, hope is something you look forward to with positive anticipation. You know, like as the morning wears on, lunch is a great hope. And then horizontal hour is an even bigger hope. You know, you have these things you look forward to. You coming to camp, you know, 3 weeks ago, it wasn't available to pray and have camp happen right then. But you could hope, you could anticipate, you could look forward to it, like we look forward to the return of the Lord. Well, this talks about the hope of salvation. Well, if I'm already saved, why do I hope for it? Well, I've got the first part of salvation, where the seed is born within, and where I have deliverance of death promised. But the full realization of that is something I'm hoping for. I'm looking forward to it. Every time my joints creak a little bit, and it takes me a little longer to get out of my chair, I realize, boy, I get to turn this body in for a new model one of these days. Like I was talking to one of you about your car, you know, it finally got to the place where there was taking so much maintenance and had so many miles, it's time to turn it in. You know, there comes that time. I'm not sure Tommy would agree with that, because he is a master at keeping cars going for a very long time. But for us normal mortals, we keep them going so long, and okay, new model. I can't really maintain this any further. Well, our bodies are like that. We do our very best to pray and eat well and exercise and listen to your doctor if you'd like to do that, which I do. But you can only do so much, and this model's going to wear out. But then we turn it in for a new model. It gets totally refurbished. And usually if you send something back for refurbishment, the best you'll ever get is pretty good to the way it was originally manufactured. Whereas when God changes our bodies, they're a whole lot better than the original model. It's amazing. It makes those bionic man robotic people look like nothing. Our bodies are completely changed. That's when deliverance to death from death is realized. It comes to its full fruition. That's the hope of salvation. That's what we look forward to, is that deliverance from death realized. Hebrews 9. Hebrews, James, Peter. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. And you think about it, we talk this, and some people get confused and say, well, why is the word salvation used in such different ways? Well, we do it all the time. You know, let's say you're ordering a book online. Let's say you go online and put in the order and put in your credit card number and hit send or buy or purchase or whatever it says. You can go to your friend and say, hey, I just got a copy of that book. Well, you don't physically have it, but you got it in the sense you ordered it. You're saying it's true. I got a copy of the book because it's yours. You paid for it. You have a little printed receipt. You can also say when it actually shows up, I got a copy of that book. Both things are true, and we use the word both ways. So God used the word salvation in both ways. One, you're delivered from death in that it's promised, and you have the seed born within you, which will bear fruit in the changed body. And two, when that actually happens, your body's actually changed. So here we go in Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's going to appear unto salvation with a view towards salvation, with the result of salvation. Because although we're saved, the fullness of the salvation will happen when the Lord returns. That's when the true deliverance from death happens. The realization of it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Well, let's go back to verse 3, get a running start, as we like to do, a little bit of context. Context. Would that be like a little booklet describing how to trick people or fool them? Context? I don't think so. Take it easy, Joey. It wasn't that good. the altitude up here must be doing something to you, Joey. Okay. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. See, my poor son was shaking his head before it even came out of my mouth. He knew it was coming. He's saying, Dad, don't do it. Don't do it. Poor kid. Okay. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he proved he could do it. I mean, we all know people that make great claims about what they can do. And often you want to say, okay, that sounds great. Now let's see some action. Can you actually deliver on what you're talking about? Well, God delivered. Jesus Christ told his apostles, you know, I'm going to be in the ground for 3 days and then I'm going to get up again. Well, he did. And when God did raise him from the dead, that gave us a living hope. Because we saw, God is able to raise somebody from the dead. He promised he'd raise Jesus Christ from the dead. He did it. So now when he promises to raise me from the dead, he can do that too. That's that living hope we have. And then it goes on, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. No banking crisis, no legal crisis, no governmental crisis, no change in taxes is going to have any effect on the inheritance we have with God, because it's reserved in heaven. Who, us, those of us that are born again, verse 5, are kept by the power of God through faith or believing unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this deliverance, this salvation, will be revealed in the last time, in the next administration, when Jesus Christ returns and our bodies are changed. So to summarize what we've talked about so far, salvation means deliverance. We obtained the promise of deliverance from death when we were born again, when we received the new birth. But the full realization of that deliverance from death will occur in the future when Jesus Christ returns. Now we have the down payment, then we receive the full product. Now we have the seed born within, but that seed bears fruit in our bodies being changed. Your soul life, your breath life, is what empowers and enlivens the dust which makes up your physical body. This Christ born within, that spiritual seed, will be that which brings life to your newly changed body at the return of the Lord. So now we have deliverance from death promised. When the Lord returns, we'll have deliverance from death realized. Now, some of the verses that I think have confused people, I know they confuse me, are verses that use salvation in the next category we'll talk about, which is deliverance from life's difficulties. Not talking about deliverance from death. You know, like somebody gets saved from drowning in the pool. Somebody gets saved from not having an automobile accident. Somebody gets saved from something else. You know, you drop your pen and it's about to wash down the drain and you save it. You grab it before it goes down the drain. All sorts of things where there is something saved, something's delivered, something is kept from harm. Well, the word, same word, the verb and the noun that are used for deliverance from death are used for deliverance from life's daily problems. Deliverance from sickness, deliverance from physical attack by your enemies, deliverance from just life's daily problems. Any of you ever had a problem where you needed to pray and God helped you? The word saved, the word salvation or deliverance is used many times in the scriptures referring to that. And there's nothing radical about it because we say the same thing in English. The problem is when we see the word salvation and every time we see it, we assume it's new birth. That's caused some confusion in a few verses, and we'll look at some of those. Let's start here in Mark chapter 5. Here in Mark chapter 5. Verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood. Did I tell you about when I lived in Chicago and with a bunch of believers, and this one woman worked for a medical publisher, and they published a journal called Blood. And one night she brought home an issue of blood. She did.
Oh, no.
Okay, we better keep reading here. It's true. It's true. Okay. It was funny at the time, too. Okay. Mark 5, verse 25. So this woman had the long-term subscription. A certain woman, which she got a discount. Come on. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, probably some type of hemorrhage bleeding, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And this is where we get the idea that, which you've often heard, that the word salvation means wholeness. Well, it is one way to translate it here. But the root meaning is still deliverance. I shall be delivered. Delivered from what? My bleeding. So she says, if I may but touch his garment, I'll be delivered. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She was healed, she was healed. This is actually a word that means healed in here, of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or dunamis, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, come on, boss, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith, thy believing hath made thee whole. And this is that same word for saved or delivered. Your believing has delivered you. Delivered you from what? Your bleeding. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Be delivered from your plague, from your illness. So here, what she was delivered from was this sickness that had caused her to bleed. That's what she was delivered from. She wasn't delivered from death. Long term, I mean, she might have been delivered from dying that year, but she wasn't delivered from the second death in the book of Revelation, or, you know, from being in the new birth where she wouldn't have to even be at the great throne judgment. She wasn't delivered from death like that, but she was delivered from that particular sickness. Acts 27. And verse 34. Here is Paul sailing the high seas, being taken from Jerusalem to Rome under guard as a prisoner. And there was a big storm. They'd been at sea for a long time, and Paul says in Acts 27, verse 31, Paul said to the centurion, the Roman officer, and of the soldiers, except these, that's the crew, abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them that they should take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. And the word health there is that same Greek word for salvation. Now, having some of the rations, because they'd been putting off eating the food because they didn't know how long they'd be at sea. So he said, go ahead and take some meat, because we're going to hit land pretty soon. And boy, did they hit land. Bam! They swam to shore. But he said, it's for your health. It's for your deliverance. Now, not deliverance from death like the new birth, but deliverance from getting starving and being really weak because they didn't have enough food. I think of that when I go into lunch. This is for my deliverance. Deliverance from getting too hungry and grumpy. Well, here it was deliverance from starving on the boat. Now, I'm not sure that one up in verse 31, you cannot be saved. It's probably the same word. And there it's being saved from drowning. And for your health, the word salvation there in verse 34 is clearly the word salvation. So the point is, this word salvation is used for deliverance from life's daily problems. The woman with the issue of blood, her problem was she was bleeding. These guys, their problem was they might drown if they don't follow God's word of the Lord, and if they don't eat something, they'll get weak and perhaps starve. So those were their life's daily problems. Let's look at another one. Luke 1, verse 71. I won't say anything corny like take a Luke at it. That wouldn't be fair. You've been through way too much. Luke 1, verse 71. Let's go back to verse 67. The father of John the Baptist, who was mute for a period because he wouldn't name the kid John like God told him to. Then when he agreed to it, his voice came back. In verse 67, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. So it's not talking about eternal life deliverance from death. It's talking about saved from being attacked by your enemies. That can be one of life's daily problems. Or maybe people want to harm you, but you can be saved, delivered from that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1. This is one Doug pointed out to me. It actually uses a different Greek word, but in this context it's reasonably synonymous to the way the word salvation is used. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. See, as you know, the Apostle Paul traveled all over what we would today call the Mediterranean basin. And when he was in what's today South Central Turkey, that is called at that time was called the Roman province of Asia. And he ran into a lot of problems places he went. Sometimes the Judeans followed him around and raised so much ruckus because they had the nerve to teach that you didn't need to circumcise your children and follow the law of Moses. Sometimes the Judeans had him beaten or thrown in jail or stoned. Sometimes the worshippers of pagan gods would stone him when they wouldn't acknowledge their pagan gods. All kinds of things had happened. He had problems. I mean, we have, you know, sometimes travel problems coming up the mountain, your car overheats, or you get a flat tire. Well, he spent a day and the night in the deep, meaning his ships had capsized or sunk. And he was there floating on a piece of wood in the Mediterranean for a day. You know, we get upset if we have to sit in the airport for an hour in traffic for 20 minutes. Well, he spent a day and a night floating around. You know, at least the airports and places you drive have those coffee shops that'll take your $5, which will not be delivered from the till. It will go in the till at the coffee shop. Well, he had some very tough times. But at any rate, I digress. He's talking about some of the problems he had here. Verse 8, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. They weren't sure they were going to survive their time in Asia. Things were so tough. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And what was that? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. You see, they were almost at the place where they would have died in Asia, but God delivered them from that death and doth deliver us. He continues to take care of us and see that we don't die, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So again, this is talking about deliverance from life's daily problems. Paul and those believers with him had very tough times in Asia, so much that they thought they might die. But God delivered them then. He was continuing to deliver them when Paul wrote this, and Paul was confident he would continue to deliver Paul, which he did. Now, here's a verse that really has caused some confusion through the years. And I think the reason it's caused confusion was I had always assumed that this salvation in this verse, you can go to Philippians 2, this verse, I'd always assumed the word salvation meant new birth. But I don't believe it does. I believe based on the context, it means deliverance from life's daily difficulties. Now, before we read this, how many of you have challenges that between praying, meditating on the word, using your common sense, and listening to God, you figure out? Does that ever happen to you? You know, like once, twice, 50 times a day? I mean, that's the way we live. We have challenges. We pray. We maybe talk to people. We think about it. We ask somebody who knows more than we do. We ask God if there's anything we should do. And we figure it out. And sometimes God tells us what to do. Other times, when we think about it for 5 minutes, there's an obvious answer. Other times, it's something we deal with every day and we just know what to do. Other times, you got to go ask somebody who's smarter than you are and they give you an idea. But you figure it out. That's what this verse is talking about. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, now, first of all, fear and trembling could also be translated reverence and respect. So God doesn't really need you shaking in your boots. He just needs you to have very great respect and very great reverence for how smart and how capable he is to help you. But still, work out your own salvation. Now, if you come from a Christian group where they told you you had to earn your salvation by your works, this would make perfect sense. You would just know, I've got to figure out how to earn my eternal life. And you'd go work it out. Bishop Pillai, who has helped many of us, a clergyman from India who made it his mission in life to teach people in the West like us how Eastern customs help clarify many things in the Bible. He thought this word salvation meant new birth. And so he translated it, you have to show forth your salvation. Now that you're born again, go show forth to people that you're saved. And that's a great idea. The problem is the word for work out means work out, figure it out. It doesn't mean show forth. So that doesn't really hold any water. But if you look at it, salvation in the sense of life's daily challenges and being delivered from them, now it makes perfect sense, because that's what I do every day. I figure out how to be delivered by life's daily problems
with great reverence and respect for God. Now it makes sense. It's when you try to say salvation here means new birth. It's very difficult because we're saved by grace. Jesus Christ paid the price, but now I got to go work it out. That doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like I invite you to lunch, say, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. I'd like to buy you lunch. Let's talk. We go down. We pick a nice restaurant. We order the food. It's nice. We eat. We get coffee. We chat. It's wonderful. And then I say, okay, you want to get your half of the tab? Wait a minute. How do you want to pay for this? Wait a minute. I thought I offered to buy you lunch. Well, to talk all about how Jesus Christ paid the price for our salvation and say, you got to go figure it out, that doesn't make any sense. But when it's life's difficulties, like we read the woman who was delivered from her bleeding. Paul and the others were delivered from drowning and from starving in the Mediterranean. We are delivered from our enemies. Now, with that kind of deliverance here, it makes sense. So, when you have a challenge in life, which will probably happen in 10 or 15 minutes if you're like me, don't worry about it. Just figure it out. Have great reverence and respect for God that He'll help you and figure it out. And God will be there to help you. So, does that make sense? Any questions about this? I mean, realize this may rattle your theology a little bit, but does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
All right. Now, there are other verses, and there are some verses where it's not clear whether it's talking about deliverance from death promised or deliverance to death realized. It might mean both. There's some verses where it's just deliverance in general. The context doesn't tell you. It's just God will deliver you, period. Whatever it is, He'll take care of you. So they're not all neatly in one or the other of the categories. But I've found everything fits in either deliverance from death promised, deliverance from death realized, deliverance from life's daily problems, or all of the above. I think you'll find that fits. And if you find any that don't, let me know. But that's the best I understand it. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for the deliverance we have in Christ Jesus. We thank You for all You've done to take care of Your people through the ages and how You'll continue to take care of us and bless us and provide for all that we need. Thank You for this and Your great love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.